Gimel Adar, Friday the 28th of February, Rabbi Yehuda Levin, what's the topic, please?
Purim and Parshas Truma.
Purim and Parshas Truma.
Thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What an honor and pleasure it is to be with you, especially some of the people I've managed to meet just before the shir. Thank you for coming. Friday's a short day. We have a journey to begin together today. We're going to discuss the connection between Purim and Parshas Terumah. I'm only going to tie them together at the very end, so please stay till the end. To Rav Dudi, who arranged such a wonderful program, I want to express gratitude and wish him a refuah shleima and hatzlacha. Who has not heard of the amazing Torah pioneer of Shraga Feivel Mendelovich? He grew up in Hungary. 1913, he got a bracha from Shaila Kastir that he'll be Matzliach to raise the banner of Torah in America. At 17 years old, he already had three smichas, among them from the Shevet Sefer and Arugas Aboysim. So we're talking about a goy. He went to America, and after many failures, he finally succeeded in building Masivta Torah Vadas. He established Torah Masorah, which today I understand in the UK we have a chinuch organization that's connected to Torah Masorah, Baruch Hashem. He made Boys Town in Yerushalayim. I'm sure you've seen the fundraisers over the years. They stand them around. This is his work. He was the epitome of selfless dedication to chinuch. One of the things he was machadish was the first koil in the United States in Muncie called Beis Menesh Elyon. And in there he had Reb Reuven Grozovsky, the son-in-law of Reb Baruch Ber, being a Rosh Koil. And he gave a sikha on Purim, Tov, Shin Ches, 1948. This is the time when the British Mandate was ending. Yidden and Yerushalayim, and so were under threat, under attack, after the Holocaust. But this is what he spoke about, so we're going to base our speech today around his words. How do we have this? I was lucky to have a neighbor, Yaakov Yitzchak Kamenik in Yerushalayim, who was there at the time, took notes. And he published it in a small pamphlet, just holding this up because there's Ashgacha Pratis in here. He dedicated it to me. Motzei Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim, Tovshin Samach Tes. So we're talking about basically Parshas Truma. The beginning of that week, I've prepared a few different versions of what I would speak. Ended up being punked what he gave me many years ago is what we're going to discuss. So it's Ashgacha Pratis already that we're here discussing this. Let's begin. The name of the Zohar, we're not quoting it verbatim, but this is what the Velt Zogt, Iber, Vashem, the Zohar, they say over the name of the Zohar, these cryptic words. Yoim Kippurim Kippurim. So Baruch Hashem, the Olam, is Bakant, you know what we're referring to, but we're trying to understand why in the world these two are connected. The Medrash Sechot Toiv, brought down also in the Yaakov Shemayni, it says on the Pasuk in Mishle, Tovcho Tivcho. This is the first to Queen Esther. The organizers of Kosher Wine Fest in Miami, in New York, in LA, have not invented anything. The matinee session in these wine shows, it's for trade people. But in the evening, everybody comes in to get drunk, Machzach Shika. So Esther, she put together a wine fest. Achashverosh and Prime Minister Haman were there. They had the VIP lounge. Loge shmak and matzev, secluded. And she arranged to make them so inebriated, as she probably figured it would not be so hard with Haman and Achashverosh as the clients, that this way she'll be able to save Ganz Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people, from fatal destruction. So Tovcho Tivcho refers to Esther Amalka getting them so drunk that she was able to arrange the salvation of the Jewish people. So essentially Haman thought he's being honored VIP, the choicest wines, with the queen, with the king. What could be better than that? But really she sprung a trap for Haman. The Medrash continues on the same pasuk, Af Orcha Shulchana. She also set her table. In this world, and the next world, Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. Now the Medrash continues with the Shaker. all the Mayadim, all the festivals are ultimately going to be bottled, nullified. All the Mayadim. However, the days of Purim will not be. Rabbi Bo adds even further that Af Yom Kippur, even Yom Kippur, will not be nullified. As it says in the Pasuk of Vayikra, this is the Makar for Yom Kippur, Zois Yelcha Chukas Olam, that this will be a law for you forever. This referring, this Pasuk in Vayikra to Yom Kippur. So we have two takeaways in the Medrash. Can anyone tell me what they are? Purim, in contrast to all other Yom Tovim, is forever. And Yom Kippur, just the same. It's also not going away. Two Yesodis. So we see that there's something special about Purim and Yom Kippur that they're set aside for an observance that's different to every other Yom Tov. The Rashba in Shuva Tzadi Gimel of Chelek Aleph has somebody ask him, is this Chazal for real? The Mayadim, the Yom Tov going to be bottled? And the Rashba adds to the Shaila of the Shoil. He adds another Shverkheit. He says, there's a bigger problem. The pasuk that we bring down, the Rashba has the gears of Revo Rebbe, of Chukas Olam, along forever, about the Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, is also there twice about Pesach. So if we have a pasuk by Yom Kippur that says it's forever, and we have two pasukim by Pesach that say it's forever, so it's a steer in a obey. How can you tell him Pesach is but? Well, it's a lover. You want me to and Yom Kippur stays, it blives. How do you say such a thing, says the Rashba. So the Rashba gives a teretz as a Avada Liam Tevim are there to stay. Don't take it literally. However, when the Pasuk tells us by Yom Kippur that it will be forever, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises will always be able to keep Yom Kippur. And when it says forever by Pesach, that's an azhora, that's a warning to Klai, so you always have to keep Pesach. And we know how everybody's very busy already, starting to think about matzahs and this and that. Pesach, it's Pesach. We have a big warning about so many lavim when it comes to chametz, so many sasei. So we know, Klai, so we have a warning here twice in the Torah. It's impressed upon us, so we have to keep Pesach. So it's two different gedorim. Together, Pesach is an azhara, a warning you have to keep it. And together, Yom Kippur says the Rashba, that's a promise you'll be able to keep it. Avtocha. He goes weiter, he says, that this is a shitosis to Rabbi Danasi. Rabbi Danasi holds that somebody who didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur works for him. And he has a gusa that if somebody does not observe Yom Kippur, it still works. So again, the Rashba comes out that the Indian of Yom Kippur is forever is that you'll always be able to do it. And at the end of the day, no matter what, you get the source of Yom Kippur. Masha Enkin Pesach. Alright. To summarize, the Rashba holds Purim and Yom Kippur are unique because you'll always be able to keep them. Now, anybody here I have studied Jewish history, he'll tell me if everybody could always keep Yom Kippur and Purim. So the Maharal is bothered by this problem. In Tiferet Yisrael, Perek Nun Gimel, he quotes the same Medrash said earlier, and he brings the answer to the Rashba, and he rejects it for two reasons. First of all, the language of the Medrash sounds as bottle. All the Yom Tovim are bottle. Don't tell me it's not. That's what it says. Second of all, he says, look at history. There's been times where Klai Yisrael have not been able to keep Purim and Yom Kippur, unfortunately. So therefore, the Maharal goes to a literal pshat in the Medrash. An extreme understanding of the Medrash. Indeed, everything will be bottled except for Purim and Yom Kippur. So for those of you who have recently finished Shas, or Masechta Nida, for those who joined at the end, and Daf Yomi, you know, the Gemara says, and Daf Samach Aleph on base, Rav Yosi says, Omer Rav Yosi, Zoysi Meres, Mitzvahs Teis Lassad Lava. This means that Mitzvahs are nullified in the ultimate future. So I'm Furish and Gemara, like the Medrash, Pasha Pshat, there's no Mitzvahs, this is even bigger, not only Yom Tevim, no Mitzvahs Lassad Lava. So the Rashi beholds on that Gemara in his Shuvah that after people die, there's Gan Eden without mitzvahs. But after Tchias HaMeisim, people come back, they're chayv mitzvahs again. The Gemara is discussing whether a person who comes back after Tchias HaMeisim can wear shatnez. Can you bury them in shatnez? Can they come back up? Now they're wearing shatnez. Is it okay? Tosfos comes out in Nida, Divrei HaMasechta Omar and Rav Yosef. He says, after Tchias HaMeisim, there's no more mitzvahs. Therefore, if you bury someone in shatnez, it's not a problem. There's no mitzvahs, even after Tchias HaMeisim. So he's going, Parshat Pshat and Gemara. Tosfos holds, there's no mitzvahs l'asadavah. So we have now, Machlokes Yesheinim, but we have Tosfos and the Maharal, both squarely on the side of mitzvahs Tosfos l'asadavah, the Yom Tovim Habatal, literally. But now we have a kasha. Why Purim and Yom Kippur stand out? Why do they survive into the ultimate future? Long after everything else is gone. So in case you're wondering what we passed, we have a Rambam. The Rambam says clearly it's end of Hilchos Megillah. Halacha Yudches, near the end, the very end of Hilchos Purim. There's all the words of the Nevi'im and all the words of the Ksuvim will be bottled when Mashiach comes. The sides of Megillah's Esther. And it remains like one of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Very radical Rambam. The Rambam's paskening, which we just saw. In other words, Esther manages to exit the Nach just in time and carry on forever. To be saved again, like Esther once saved her people, she is saved for posterity. Voshteto. What do we see over here? What's the message? The Gemara Sochim Daf Nun Amid Aleph says on the famous Pasuk in Zechariah, with which we end every tefillah of Aleinu three times a day. Frankly, the Gemara is Hashem not Echad now. Why do we say on that day Hashem will be one? Is he not one now? Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, the Gemara continues. In this world, they make on good news after Yom Kippur, on bad news both dynamics. And Olam Habo will only say after Yom Kippur. And Rashi Afanot says after Yom Kippur. Why? In Olam Habo, because essentially there will be no bad news. No more Midas Adin. The Gemara continues. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Olam Hazeh is not like Olam Habo. In this world, we write Hashem's name with a Yud and a Hey, and pronounce it with an Aleph and a Nun, Adnus. In the next world, which is all one, is called Yud and a Hey, and written, Nichtam Yud and a Hey. The Tzodek HaKohen of Lublin explains the Gemara as follows. What's the difference between Adnos and Yud and Hey, Shem Havaya? What's the difference? He says there's two points to understand. Yud Kei Havaya is Hashem who manifests the dimensions of time and space. We exist in time and space. Who's manifesting that? Hashem. So our very existence, our very being, is coming out of Hashem. He is the beer of all. Time and space. We have no independent existence. Adnos, however, is about a dichotomy. There's a duality in the sense that we feel ourselves to be here. We're here. And Hashem is there. He's our other. He's our master. A master-servant relationship. There are two parts to this relationship. There's a way of us being here, we perceive ourselves. And there's the Bala Boss. It's not so bad to be a Bala Boss. To summarize, the Yud and the Hey is just one being manifesting himself and includes everything in existence by nature, by extension. In Adnos, there's two perceived levels, nature and above nature. In the world that we live in, we currently live in a world where we wear glasses and Hashem allows us to only perceive the world in one way. The way that we say Adnos. Is us, and there's Hashem, who's our boss. In the ultimate future, we'll be able to say what we can only look at today, what we can only see with our mind, perhaps, which is the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei Vavaya, that everything is really just a manifestation of Hashem, and there's no dichotomy. When it comes to nowadays, because we have this inability to perceive things, because Hashem put glasses on us, this filter on us, we can't read the name of Hashem the way it's written. But in Olam Haba, when he removes the glasses, we'll be able to finally see things the way they truly are, and we'll be able to say Hashem's name the way it's written. Now, Rabbi Rav Man, Shlita of Bnei Brak, told us a story in Yeshiva which illustrates this point. The Baal HaTanya, upon leaving this world, was fleeing Napoleon and his army with his family, and he was ill. And as he fled, they had to stop because he was ill. And they ended up in a barn near where he's buried today. And as he was lying in the barn, he called over his son. Berele, Berele, what do you see? As he pointed upwards at the ceiling of the barn. The soon-to-be next Rebbe looked up. He looked at the ceiling and he said, I see the wood beams of the ceiling. The Baal HaTanya said to his son, I see Elokus. In other words, as the Baal HaTanya's neshama was rising from this world to the next, he was able to already remove the glasses. He was able to see Hashem manifesting himself in a manner that we could only imagine to see in the future world. This is the Olam Habadika glasses that we're talking about. The Gemara in Yuma, Chav Tes Amar Aleph says, Amar Avasi, why is Esther compared to the dawn? We know Lam Natseach HaYeles HaShachar is the capital of Esther. I'm soon going to say it on Tainus Esther. It's a big segula. Why is she compared to the dawn? Because just like the dawn is the end of the night, so too Esther is the end of all Nisan. Frek the Gemara, what do you mean Esther's end of all Nisan? If anybody remembers our history, as opposed to the chronology of the calendar, even though Chanukah appears before Purim, Purim occurred first and Chanukah later. So really the end of all Nisan should be Chanukah. Answers the Gemara, it's the last of the Nisan to be written down in the Tanakh. Chanukah is not in the Tanakh. Okay. So the Gemara can be understood in light of the Yisoy of the Ramban that everybody knows. The Ramban says that the purpose of Nisim Gluyim is to be an instruction manual to teach us about the Nisim Nistorim, the hidden miracles. The hidden miracles which constantly occur. And he says, right to the Ramban, that the hidden miracles are the yesoid of the whole Torah. These are the foundation of the whole Torah. For example, the cycle of precipitation can be observed in London almost on a daily basis. This is a hidden miracle. The biology, when we eat, food gives us life. If we would study what's going on, and nowadays they have time lapses where you can see all the cellular DNA structures as they function. It's unbelievable. Hidden miracles. Hashem says, all the things I showed you throughout history are all just an instruction manual for you to recognize, says the Ramban, all the hidden miracles which I constantly perform. Nature is just the veil hiding the constant hidden miracles. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the first time Hashem broke through, pulled away the veil, and showed the whole world. He's the Balabos. He is in charge. And these miracles, which he performed for us, and as the Pasuk says, the man, in order that Paroi should know, everybody had to understand that Hashem is the one who not only does this, he must also be involved in everything else. Our miraculous existence for 40 years in the desert, why was it there? Because we needed to survive. Because we needed to learn this lesson. Ramban says, is to put to rest the myth of what we would have thought until now. There's a dichotomy. There's Hashem and there's us. But by Hashem putting us through this miraculous school of 40 years, we recognize there's no him and us. We are just an extension of Hashem. So I'll bring down a story connected to a mashal that Tanya brings down so many years later. But when I was a kid, I used to walk down to the corner of the street, and my neighbor, a Jewish lady, had a bunch of turtles in her back garden. And I'd go with my siblings, we'd stand at the fence, sometimes we'd get in, sometimes we could see from the fence. There were a bunch of turtles there, and we'd always want to see, are the turtles awake, are the turtles asleep, are they moving, are they not? Kids are curious about these things. But what's so fascinating about a turtle? When the turtle's asleep, he goes under his shell, or maybe he's taking an afternoon nap, as turtles don't do when they're racing hares. Yeah. And he disappears under his shell. So you think the turtle has disappeared. He's not there. You don't see his head, his feet, his hands, his tail. But really, when they get up and walk around, oh, now the turtle's moving. Now the turtle's out. But actually, the turtle and his shell are just one unit. So when the turtle's hiding under the shell, he's still just a turtle right in front of your eyes. The same way Hashem and nature. Nature, says Baal Tanya, is the turtle shell. Nature itself is also part of Hashem, just like the tortoise shell is part of the turtle. Make sure you don't get caught in customs with one of those big ones. So this is the idea that we need to understand, that when we see the turtle hiding, when we see Hashem hiding, we're looking at Hashem himself. There are stories of miracles, segulas, they put them out in the shuls, on the pages, you hear them on WhatsApp. Why is Hashem giving us all these messages? To give us chizik that we should recognize that even the daily grind was full of miracles. This is, says the Ramban, the yesod of the Torah. Let's go back in time. Bayis Rishon. Open miracles on Beis HaMikdash. There was the Arim, the Urim and Tumim, the Kruvim, the Shechina, Neviyah, Nevuah. Everything was rosy. But in contrast, Bayis Sheni already was lacking. Everything was going according to the natural order, political rivalries. The story of Purim, which takes place between the two, was a natural development of political intrigue. It was the kind of stuff we'd cover in the Daily Mirror, the Telegraph, or other news of the day. There's no miraculous ring to the Megillah in every single small detail. But when you put all the puzzle pieces together and you play the time-lapse video of the Megillah, that's when you perceive that this was indeed a miracle. The lesson of Mordechai and Esther, the last of the Nisan to be written down, was a paradigm shift. It was this very Yisoi the Rabban is speaking of, that the Gemara tells us is the last of the Nisan. This ability to recognize that even in nature, and in nature itself, by itself, Hashem is manifesting himself. Ness and nature are one and the same. We know the Midrashim on Esther tell us, every time it says HaMelech in the Megillah, it's talking about Malkus Haloylam, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why don't they just write Hashem, or hyphen, slash, or footnotes, Hashem? They didn't bother. So generally we know, no leader can act on the world stage outside of Lei Melachim, Sam Yad Hashem. The story is told, there was once Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Shamir. And he had a health issue, a cardiac problem, a health problem. He penned a letter to the Master of Dilat Torah of the United States. And they wrote back expressing their support for him. And they added that surely since Lei Melachim, Yad Hashem, his heart was in good hands. In other words, Hashem acts through the king. But in the Megillah we go a step further. We know that it's talking about Achashverosh. Yet we say it's talking about Hashem. We're removing a dichotomy. We're pulling away the veil. There's no more duality. There's no more distinction to be made between nature and above nature. There's only one perception. As in Olam Habo. Hashem Echot, Shmo Echot. Now we understand Maharal who says, Purim is not of this world. Purim is of Olam Habo. In general, we don't say Hashem the way it's written. But in the Ma'abal, we will. Because Purim has, in the whole Megillah, a double entendre. In order for us to recognize that there's only one, all along. Purim is a Yom Habadik Yontif. All the other Yom Tovim are Yom Hazar related. Now we see these two levels. What's the goal of Olam Haba? Every Yom Tov, we celebrate something in nature. On Purim, by contrast, is a celebration of nature. Of the natural course of human history. A bit of royal intrigue, wine parties, parades of honor, very normal Persian stuff. The goal of Olam Haba is the transcending of nature. Therefore, Purim is not bottled forever, because then Hashem's name will be one. Purim still has a place, or even more so, it finally has found its place in Olam Haba, because that's where it really belongs. Ramchal tells us our bodies and our souls are here on this earth so that our soul could charge up its spiritual batteries. So that when we come back in Tchias HaMesim, our soul could bring our body up to the level of the soul. So we're here on a mission to charge up our neshamas so that we can transform our body, nature, the next time around. So the goal is to elevate nature, to transcend nature. The Rambam we mentioned again at the end of Hilchos Megillah says, all the books of Tanakh will be bought besides Megillah Esther. Because in every Sefer of Tanakh, you have this dichotomy of nature and miracle. There's Eliyahu and Achav. There's only one part of Nach, in which nature is an entirely new paradigm of understanding. Megillas Esther. The Maharal therefore held that any mitzvah which is not connected to the ultimate future will be bottled. But Purim, which is all about the ultimate futuristic reality, will not be bottled. Purim is the showcase that Hashem and His name are one. In conclusion, we people are a microcosm of the greater reality at large, Olam Kapan. Inside each of us, we have an Neshama Kamimal, which perceives Achdus Hashem. On the other hand, we have a body, which gives us a sense and a feeling of dichotomy. Of nature and above nature. However, when the ultimate future is revealed, we'll no longer perceive our body as where we end, but rather our skin, our body, is the place where we connect to the rest of existence which surrounds us. A bit like a cloud floating in the sky is just part of the sky, or a drop of water in the ocean is just part of the ocean. We will see ourselves, even our body, as just manifesting Hashem. Purim is a level of Olam Haba. No more dichotomy between body and soul. No more relying on neshama to know Hashem with the yediyah. It is rather lo yoda, no yediyah, no neshama involved at all, just the body. It's just like a baby just is. He's just experiencing being. He's a body, he's not got the filters of the intellect. When you go on Purim and see children, you can see this as you look at their face. They're just being, just enjoying being. This is Purim, this is Olam Habadik. On Purim, I can remove my intellect and experience Hashem from my being, from my body. Seichel is just a filter, but there's a greater filter of pure emunah and faith in Hashem without the Seichel. This says to the Sfas Emes is called Aspaklaria Hame'ira. When we come with Emunah, with just who we are to Hashem, we have light. But if we use our Seichel, that's Aspaklaria, says Sfas Emes, She'ena Me'ira. It's unlit view. Olam Haba is the world where our body reaches the same heights as our Neshama. Yom Kippur is Olam Habadik. No drink. No food, no business, no competition, no jealousy. Just like Olam Haba. Yom Kippur is totally neshama. Purim is totally the body. Just look on the streets on Purim. Therefore, Purim is the greater of the two. It's the transcending. And Kippur means like Pur. In other words, the main event is Purim, of which Yom Kippur is alike. The main point, as we said, is not the neshama, but the ability of the neshama to transform the body to reach the same heights. To bring the Shechina here below into the physical world. That was the goal all along. For the creation of the world, they're already neshamas. So why did Hashem create this physical world? Olam Hazeh was created only in order to elevate the body. This is the Chiddush of Purim. Recognizing the bir of all in oneness. Hashem and nature are one. This is the essence of Purim. Maybe this is a good makar for those who drink beer instead of wine on Purim. For some, Purim may be about banging Haman. That's important, says the Ramah. That's for children. For us, Purim is a bit deeper. Our Purim is a springboard for a deeper dive into Hashem's world. Elikus. Let's see what we have so far. Isaiah says, done in a second, Batilbash Esther Malchus. Malchus means Ruach HaKodesh. Asked Shem Bayechai, was there ever anyone who wore this clothing of Malchus, the garment of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh? Yes, he answered. There were two, Mordechai and Esther. Because it also says, Mordechai Yotzev Vush Malchus. Mordechai and Esther were already identified, says the Zohar, with the clothing of Olam Haba in this world. This is the Madrega that we each could be Zechus, says Vnei Yisoskar, on Purim, as everyone gets dressed up. Make sure you get dressed up in the Vush Malchus, the Vush Ruach HaKodesh. This Madrega. They will all be zoicha, like it says in the sixth parsha. V'shalchanti b'soicham b'soich kol echad ve'echad. Each one of us can be a mishkan l'ashchina. We all be blessed with a good Shabbos and a freilich in Purim.
That's a short thought on the seder too. That was a gift. Was.